Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
I was just curious, you know, we talked to Sean a little bit ago. He was saying that there's a chance y'all have Maxwell Harrison back soon. I was just curious about the rookie class in general. You know, you guys went heavy defense there, but there have been so many injuries. How has that impacted your ability to evaluate those guys just where they are at this point in the season?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, you know, there's only a couple of the guys that we've been able to consistently evaluate. You know, the most physical and mental part of it. So it's affected us, but, you know, we always got to be ready to adjust. And that's what we've done a good job here over the years.
Sean was talking about the adjustments you made first half to second half last night. What do you think was key in just kind of, you know, utilizing halftime to make those adjustments and clean things up for the team coming into the second half?
Yeah, there was a few adjustments, you know, but the biggest thing I think was, you know, the message of, you know, comes down to fundamentals. It comes down to our tackling. It comes down to doing our 111th. And, you know, I don't know what it was. Certainly we're all in this together, but, you know, it was a different game in two halves. And yes, we made a few adjustments, here or there, you know, but it was nothing astronomical to impact the game that way. It certainly helped us, you know, but, you know, it's one of those things where we've got to make sure that we have a football's an imperfect game. We got to make sure that we have as close to 11 doing their job, and hopefully it's 11 guys doing their job on every play. Because the more guys, that are not doing their job, the worse result we're going to get. And that was a little bit of the message we sent today.
Is that was a message today or last night?
Both.
Okay.
Both.
Speaking of adjustments, as well as you've done in making adjustments in at halftime and whatever tweaks you can make, how important is it to start the game off fast as opposed to having to adapt? Or is that the challenge of having to adapt to what you're seeing out there?
John, I mean, that is 100%. That's a great question because we need to start fast and we need to figure that out real fast. Not to be a play on words there, but, you know, you look at the Jets game and even the New England game, you know, we started fast there. You know, yesterday's a perfect microcosm of what I just talked about. We force a fumble on the first play of the game, and we line up offsides. Things are going to happen, but those things cannot happen. And so there's a fast start that quickly got taken away, and we got to be able to make sure that, you know, our temperament, our attitude, the way we're approaching it, our mindset does not shift just because of that. You know, so let it be a valuable lesson to all our guys and us of, you know, the importance of everybody starting off doing your job at the highest level possible. And then, as you said, starting fast. And we certainly started fast, but the penalty took that off it, you know, so.
You've got Larry and Michael Heck coming back. What are the opportunities and the challenges of integrating them back into the lineup, especially at a time where you're a little, you know, you're quite banged up?
Yeah. We've obviously had some discussions with that. We'll work through that and just figure out what the best way going forward is. But certainly there are some moving parts with it, obviously, that we'll have to take care of. And we'll have the right group and the right plan together.
How welcome is it to know that you're out of the tunnel in the sense that you've got guys coming?
Oh, it's great. It's great. You know, two veteran players, you know, that bring a lot to the table, and, you know, it's a welcome addition. Anytime you can add, you know, talent, not only talent, but, you know, the intangible pieces that they could potentially bring.
How tough has it been for you defensively, you know, dealing with so much transition, you're dealing with rookie growing pains and injuries? How difficult has it been for you?
Yeah, I mean, I'm never going to make an excuse. You know, it's certainly just about, you know, evolving and adapting to what's available and trying to find, you know, the best pieces to that puzzle to try to get the best product that we can possibly get.
And I know it's been tough these six games dealing with that. And you're dealing with injuries from your linebackers, from your safety. So those where the calls come in. So I know how, you know, at times it could be a little tough for, you know, that to happen, not having, you know, your particular guys out there, but it's a next man up situation. So, you know, what are some of the things that you're going to be focused on during this bye week to get things back on task?
Finding the best version of ourselves moving forward. You know, where we need to, what we need to latch on to as far as our strengths and obviously improving our weaknesses.
I want to go back to lining up offsides, and Sean said it last night, the same thing, which is you rep it in practice. They know not to do it. You know, something you're taught when you're a little kid, right? Pop Warner football. Can you, for a fan's sake, could you take us into what that looks like during practice and how to kind of make sure that that's not happening, but also from a player's standpoint of, why would a player line up offsides? I think fans wonder, like, how could that happen? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, like you said, it starts when you're young, right? You learn mm-hmm. You cannot line up offsides. There's a certain process that we go through when you talk about the D-line. And you know, it's one of those things that seems very simple. And yes, it is simple. But, you know, identifying the ball and the actual line of scrimmage, you know, for a defensive end, you're further out, yeah. You know, making
sure. And there's a crown on the field too, man. That could come into play, right?
There's a lot that goes into it that seems, you know, it's very simple. But again, the more you're off the ball, you know, there's potential angles in time for the offensive line. So finding that sweet spot is very important. And obviously our D-line guys have a process that we go through and a teaching progression there, because you want to have a progression for everything.
Okay. Second one is a little more X's and O's. So I noticed like you had Taylor down in the box a little bit more last night, close to the line of scrimmage, you go one high. Okay. So when you talk about tackling, sometimes do you find it is tackling just tackling, or do you have to balance?
No.
Okay. Tackling could be different if there's one high or two high, depending on how you're attacking angles, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Definitely space. When you talk about tackling, how much space there is, what level we want to tackle at based on the angle that you're taking,
right?
What hip we're approaching. There's a lot that goes into it. And depth, definitely depth from the ball carrier and depth from the line of scrimmage definitely comes into play.
My question is going to be on Deion Walker. And I guess I'm a bit interested in it because there were a lot of splash plays that were made. So when we're at the game last night or when people are watching on TV, whatever it is, you notice the splash plays because they happen. But then Sean was asked about Deion Walker's game and, you know, it was like, okay, you know, some definitely some good things, but some things we need to clean up. And I think it maybe surprised at least me a little bit that it wasn't just like, oh, he played phenomenal. So with a player like that, how do you find the consistency that he can still make those splash plays and that those are impactful, but also there aren't the maybe mishaps that don't immediately get pinned on one person, you know, and then end up.
Yeah. That's a great question, Matt, because you see the splash plays up front, right? When you just look at defense. Okay. Well, you look at defense, you know, having coached the linebackers and the safeties, never coaching the D line, is if a guy is out of his gap up front, there's at times where the guy in the second level could potentially make up for it. And it's never spoken about, however you want to say it, publicly, whatever, or to the naked eye. Well, then if you get through that second level, then there's the third level. And once you get past that third level, there's no other levels to the defense. So things that might seem not a big deal might be made up because of a guy going above and beyond on that second level or kind of making up for the player, if that makes sense, on the first level. And so there's some things that go in there, or your backside on a play and you end up in a position you're not supposed to be in. And that's just in general overall. And that's where the D-line, some things can get a little bit masked per se, because they are on the first level of the defense.
And then my follow-up to that would be, you know, a very high snap count for Deion last night. And I understand that that's circumstantial given the Daquan injury and everything. To have defensive linemen be the most effective, and I know that there are some outliers, what do you think a good snap count looks like? Or a percentage? Yeah. I don't want to give you...
I mean, it's an interesting number. You kind of, you have to feel it. Kind of as we've been doing with Joey and finding that sweet spot, because I think two things. A is the age of the player. You know what I mean? Because you're in a wrestling match every play. I think secondly, you know, in an ideal world, you have a structure where you could be, if you had four interior D linemen, let's just say, where you could be 50-50 across the board. That would be ideal. Sure. But you run into situations where maybe a guy's better on third down than the other guy, and now you're trying to balance out first, second down with third down. How many third downs do you have? Is it a whole first and second down game? So it's just kind of a feel of getting guys to the spot where we need them. And obviously last night was a little different with how it went down. So obviously we had to make some pretty quick adjustments there in pregame to kind of balance that out.
There's, you know, probably a tendency to feel like the sky has fallen here a little bit, you know, when you take a two-game losing streak into the bye week. But, you know, the reality is you're not. You know, it isn't. You guys are 4-2 through 6 weeks. So if you could give me a glass half full kind of view, what have you liked that you've seen from the defense through 6 weeks?
Yeah, I think I've really liked our response. Here's what I've liked. I've liked our resiliency. We've had a lot of guys in and out of the lineup. Have we gotten the complete result we've wanted? No. But we've shown resiliency, and guys have stepped up and been ready to play, as it was evident last night, especially in the second half, right? That's kind of the, you know, to your point, even with last night, first half was – it was not our brand of football. Don't know what that was. Second half, we come out and, you know, completely different game. I really like the way that our guys are attacking areas. So for instance, it was obviously a big deal going into this week with the run game. You know, the way they're attacking our points of emphasis. What we've got to stop doing is trying to correct the points of emphasis after, for instance, last night, specifically in the first half. You know, we've got to get to the point where those points of emphasis week in or week out are just stacking on top of one another, and we're carrying them throughout. And it's not, hey, let's go back to this. Let's go back. Let's make sure here. That's got to be every week. And I've got to continue to do a good job of making sure our guys, we're checking all those boxes. you know, but responding to things that, that we know we've got to improve.
Sean was saying that Max might be coming off injured reserve somewhat soon. What's your hope for how involved he can be the rest of this year, considering how far behind he is already?
Yeah, we're going to take it one day at a time. We're going to take it one day at a time and just kind of see where he's at as we move along. We're doing some things right now to kind of see where he's at. You know, it's been a long time since he's played, and you know, we'll find that best time to where we feel like we could potentially incorporate him in back into and what that time looks like. You know, I know he's done some good things, and you know, as far as coming back and working back, and looking forward to getting him back out there.
How similar is his situation to what Cole went through last year? And can you learn anything with how Cole transitioned back in last year to help you with Max this year?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think that it's similar. It's not quite the same. A little bit different, you know, injury or whatever that may be. So I'd say it's fairly similar, but definitely, you know, missing most of training camp, and, you know, the football's football, and, you know, that we're going to have to get him back to playing football, if that makes sense to you. Not only just all the technique and all those type of things, but the contact and the tackling and all those fundamentals, that we're going to have to get him back into that here fairly quick.
I know the old adage of like, it's either win or panic in the NFL. And I know there's panic in terms of the fan base, but how do you kind of toe the line between urgency and not letting it get to panic? And what does that look like for you in terms of this defense?
We've been here before. You know, I've been here 9 years. We've been at this spot before, completely understand, you know, the sense of panic. But in this building, we know where we have to improve. We know, and I talked to the team or the defense about it today of, you know, look at the first half, look at the second half. It's the consistency in what we're doing, guys. We got to come out. We got to start fast. You know, and this is a long season. We are 4-2. We know there's things we have to improve on, and we will continue to improve on that, or continue to work to improve on that. Our whole goal is to be peaking at the right time, you know, during the season. We understand that. And, you know, that's our approach. It's going to be consistent every day with an urgency to get better where we need to get better.
Sorry, I jumped on late. I didn't know. Just in terms of the bye week, what does it look like for you? Like, what do you do during that?
Like you're saying, as a coach?
Yeah.
So we'll go through, we'll basically strip down the whole, six games that we've played. And we'll go through every situation throughout the game, first, second down, third down, 2 minute red zone, all those type of things. And take a look at, you know, some things where we got to improve and maybe identify some things where we're best, you know? So it's certainly coming at a good time. And we're getting to work already on it.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey,
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.